This is Bad Cop No Donut for the week of November 10th, 2005.
All right, freeze! Police!
Bad cop.
No donut.
Bad, 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 bad.
Cop, 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 cop.
No, 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 no. Donut, 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 donut.
He's under the law, and I rule.
With your weekly wrap-up of North American police brutality, misconduct, and corruption, I'm Ron Anisich at CKLN in Toronto. Here is a look at what the police did to us this week. A Los Angeles police officer pleaded not guilty last Tuesday to charges that she fired her weapon into an occupied home. The LA Times says that Officer Keely Coleman is facing two counts of assault with a semi-automatic firearm and one count of shooting at an inhabited dwelling. Coleman is accused of firing into the home occupied by a couple who she knew three times when she was off duty on August 30th. She is currently free on $250,000 bail. A sheriff's deputy in Kings County, California, was arrested on Tuesday for drunk driving on his way to work. The Fresno Bee says that Deputy Russell King hit a sign with his car and a citizen called in to report it. He was stopped a short time later and held by police for 6 hours before being released. A Washington state trooper was convicted of groping women at traffic stops and sentenced to 16 months, time served, last Friday. The Olympian also says that Officer Michael Idland has been sentenced to 4 years of probation and must pay a $40,000 fine. He's accused of fondling as many as 10 women at traffic stops, which happened mainly in Seattle in 2002. In September, he pleaded guilty to three counts of custodial misconduct as part of a plea deal. Police in Abbotsford, British Columbia, say that an RCMP officer who once worked in the community is now under investigation for a string of sexual assaults in the 1980s. The Abbotsford News says that one man claims that the unnamed officer raped him at an RCMP detachment in 1983. The same victim claims that the officer then terrorized him for over a year and one time planted drugs on him in the presence of another officer. Four other victims have also been uncovered by the investigation. The RCMP has confirmed that an officer in Ontario has been suspended with pay as a result of the Abbotsford investigation. No charges have been laid. A sheriff's deputy in Lake County, Montana, was accused last week of stealing prescription drugs from a dead man. An Associated Press report says that Deputy Larry Kirby was performing the duties of county coroner and was in Louisiana doing cleanup operations after Hurricane Katrina. He was arrested when he returned home. He's accused of stealing hydrocodone and oxycodone. Kirby was arrested last Tuesday and has been charged with criminal possession of dangerous drugs and tampering with public records. An investigation is continuing, and Kirby may face more charges in the future. He's being held on $250,000 bail. The family of a First Nations teenager who froze to death when he was left by police outside of Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, filed a lawsuit last week. The CBC reports that in November 1990, Saskatoon police officers drove the teen to the outskirts of the city and left him to fend for himself. The lawsuit names officers Larry Hartwig and Brad Senger, the chief of police, and several other officers as defendants. The mother of the dead teenager claims in the lawsuit that when she tried to get information about her then-missing son, the police engaged in misinformation, obfuscation, deception, and false assurances. Hartwig and Senger were fired from their jobs when they were implicated in the teen's disappearance by an inquiry. Other First Nations men were discovered frozen to death on the outskirts of Saskatoon around the same time. Saskatoon police officers Dan Hatchin and Ken Munson were convicted of unlawful confinement and sentenced to 8 months in jail after a man complained that he had been left on the outskirts of the city in sub-zero temperatures in February of 2000. A police officer in Mound, Minnesota, was accused of using excessive force last week in a complaint filed by a witness. The Lakers Sun Patriot says that a resident witnessed an unnamed police officer tackle a man who did not pose any kind of threat. The man had dismounted his motorcycle when the officer sent both the man and the bike crashing onto the pavement. The citizen who witnessed the attack was outraged and had already complained in the local media about the incident. A Milwaukee, Wisconsin police officer was sentenced last Thursday to 1 year in jail for two civil rights violations. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel says that Officer Ala Awadalla pleaded guilty to two counts of depriving a citizen of civil rights under color of law. In February, Awadalla is accused of pulling over a vehicle that had just been purchased and had no license plates. The officer handcuffed the driver, threatened to plant cocaine on him, and took his cell phone and shoes. He also stole $200 in cash and later conducted an illegal search of the man's home. Awadalla was also ordered to perform 50 hours of community service and pay the man his $200 back. A man has filed a lawsuit against three Waukesha, Wisconsin police officers claiming that they beat him without cause last September. The Waukesha County Freeman says that the man was at a local tavern in September 2004 when he was tackled by three police officers when he questioned why they wanted to see his identification. The man suffered an eye injury when his face hit the doorway he was being forced through by the officers. Officers Kevin Rice, Steve Guth, and Ron Grace are named as defendants. The lawsuit claims the city neglected to train the officers properly. The chief of police in Maple Park, Illinois, was fired by the town's council last Tuesday. The DeKalb County Daily Chronicle reports that the council voted to fire Chief Chester Morris by a narrow margin. Morris was charged with official misconduct after a state gambling raid at a local tavern in 2004. This was council's fourth attempt to deal with Morris. The former council president, who had previously held the balance of power in Maple Park, was also charged with official misconduct. The misconduct charge against Morris was eventually dropped. A Fort Wayne, Indiana police officer was suspended for 5 days on Thursday for violating the department's sick leave policy and leading officers on a chase. An Associated Press report says that Officer Fred Rogers left his home without permission or sufficient cause in violation of his sick leave. In January, he was charged with reckless driving and other charges after he drove through a stop sign and briefly led police on a chase. He is still facing criminal charges and may face further discipline from the department, depending on the outcome.
Sacked. I'll probably be charged with disobeying a lawful order. And, you know, so be it. But I'm very proud of my uniform. It's strange how the chief doesn't mind us wearing our hats and our dickies, but when it comes to a lawful protest march, he's against us wearing our, you know, uniform.
There will be a huge retention problem in Toronto because it's just the cost is immense to come back and forth into the city, and to have something stripped out of your contract is going to probably force guys to relocate somewhere other than Toronto.
Who's looking after the city while everybody here? That's my first question.
More than 150 Toronto police officers who disobeyed a direct order from the chief last Wednesday are now facing disciplinary action. The CBC reports that thousands of officers gathered at City Hall to protest progress in their contract negotiations. Toronto Police Chief Bill Blair ordered the officers not to attend the protest in uniform or carrying firearms. Despite the order, hundreds of officers attended the rally armed and in uniform. Those officers will face discipline ranging from a reprimand to dismissal. Toronto police have been conducting a work-to-rule campaign for nearly 1 month. Some officers have cut back on patrols, and many are not wearing their full uniform. A man is suing police in Ottawa, Ontario, claiming he was the victim of an unprovoked attack from two officers after he fell asleep at a donut shop. The Ottawa Sun says that a Montreal businessman fell asleep in the donut shop and, after speaking with police officers for a moment, was the victim of a brutal and sadistic attack. The incident was caught on videotape by a security camera in the store. The tape appears to back up the man's claims. The man spent the night in jail and sought medical treatment the next day. The two officers involved in the apparently unprovoked August 2004 attack are Shane Henderson and Tricia Nesbitt. They are both accused in the lawsuit of lying in reports to avoid discipline or criminal charges. Neither has been charged. A recently retired police officer in Ossining, New York, was arrested last Friday on child pornography charges. The Westchester Journal News says that William Costa has been charged with 28 counts of possessing and disseminating child pornography. His arrest is connected to the arrest of a Las Vegas police officer who he is accused of sharing the pornography with. Costa is free on $25,000 bail.
For him to get in the car and run, what was he so scared of? He could have got out the car and ran. Why jump in your car and run? Drive your car and kill someone.
The car belongs to me. And that's my son, and I have the right to drive my car.
Obey the law. If there is a police officer asks you to pull over and be cooperative, that's what's expected.
That's not good enough for us. That's not good enough for us. My nephew's gone. He's not going to ever be back. He can always come out and be back on the street. My nephew will never be back.
A 13-year-old boy walking on a sidewalk in East Orange, New Jersey, was killed when he was struck by a car being chased by police on Saturday. According to the New York Times, a witness described seeing the car being chased, rammed by the police vehicle before the driver lost control and struck the child. The car made its way onto a sidewalk, pinning the boy underneath. A West Paterson, New Jersey police officer was arrested on Thursday for leaking information about a narcotics investigation. The Herald News reports that Officer Richard Began is charged with conspiracy, hindering apprehension, and official misconduct. He's accused of warning drug dealers at a local gym about an impending raid. He also alerted them to police surveillance and the fact that their phones were being tapped. Began is facing 10 years in prison if he is convicted. He is the fourth police officer to be arrested in the conspiracy so far. Pompton Lakes Police Officer Dennis DePrima, Passaic County Deputy Jerry Ward, and Ringwood Police Officer Paul Kleiber have already been arrested. More arrests are expected. A Fairhaven, New Jersey police officer was charged with official misconduct and theft last Thursday. The Asbury Park Press says that Detective James Kerman falsely claimed more than $31,000 in vacation time and other wages over a six-year period ending in June when the fraud was discovered. Kerman has been suspended without pay. A Roanoke, Virginia police officer has been accused of beating a handcuffed 16-year-old boy. WLWS reports that Officer L.R. Bowman was transporting the child to a youth detention facility when the attack occurred. The boy claims that he was removed from the back seat of a police car and thrown to the ground. He says he was then punched and beaten by the officer and threatened with a police dog and pepper sprayed. A complaint is currently being investigated. A sheriff's deputy in Daviess County, Kentucky, pleaded guilty to driving under the influence of alcohol on Friday. The Owensboro Messenger-Inquirer says that Deputy Frank Howard was arrested the previous Sunday after he admitted to driving home from a bar after drinking. Troopers came to his home after a report of a collision with another car in Howard's driveway. He was suspended from his job without pay for 90 days and will also face 1 year of probation and has been ordered to complete alcohol counseling.
My clients, obviously, as any client would have hoped probably for a lesser sentence thing. And it's always difficult, especially when you have a wife and small children involved.
I love my husband more than all the stars in the universe. That's how I'll stand by his side till the day I die.
Especially apologize to the community. I'm tired of sitting there. I'm ashamed of myself. Okay.
A police officer in Memphis, Tennessee, was sentenced to 7 years in prison on Monday. According to an Associated Press report, Officer Billy Scott pleaded guilty to 8 charges earlier this year. He was accused of possessing and selling drugs and prostitution-related offenses. He is also alleged to have conspired with officers David Tate and John Vaughn to rob the home of a professional wrestler. Tate was recently sentenced to 14 years in prison for his part in the crimes. A Bluff City, Tennessee police officer was arrested last Thursday after he pointed a gun at his girlfriend. The Kingsport Times-News says that Officer Larry Yackley had been drinking when he first pointed the gun at himself and then at his girlfriend. He has been charged with aggravated assault. Yackley is free on a $3,000 bond and is on administrative leave from his job. A police officer in St. Cloud, Florida, who was accused of having sex with a teenager, was fired last week. The Orlando Sentinel says that Officer Joey Bishop has been on paid leave since he was arrested on September 29th. Last week, he was charged criminally with engaging in a sex act with a teenager. In Florida, it is unlawful for anyone over the age of 24 to have sex with anyone under the age of 18. Bishop was determined by an internal investigation to have broken several department regulations, including lying to investigators, unbecoming conduct, abusing a member of the public, and lying on his original application for employment. A Daytona Beach, Florida police officer struck two pedestrians with his police cruiser last Wednesday. The Orlando Sentinel says that Officer Joseph Snowden was making a left turn when he hit the two people who were trying to cross a street. Neither were seriously injured. Snowden is charged with careless driving. A sheriff's deputy in Polk County, Florida, attempted to withdraw his no-contest plea to drug charges on Tuesday. The Lakeland Ledger says the deputy, Roderick Stevenson, pleaded no contest to possession and intent to distribute cocaine in August. He is also accused of accepting payoffs from drug dealers in exchange for information and protection. Stevenson wants to change his plea because he says that prosecutors failed to live up to their end of a plea agreement. A Houston County, Alabama sheriff's deputy accused of stealing $20,000 worth of sporting goods resigned last Wednesday. The Dothan Eagle says that deputy Richard Ducker was arrested 5 days earlier and charged with theft. Police discovered the stolen property in the officer's home during a search. A police officer in Jackson, Mississippi was charged with criminally negligent homicide last Thursday. The Clarion Ledger says that Officer Jeffrey Middleton is accused of causing a car wreck which killed a man in June. He is on paid leave from his job and is free on a $5,000 bond. A police officer in Del Rio, Texas was charged last week with stealing four tires and rims from a car which had been confiscated. The Del Rio News Herald says that Officer Ray Hernandez has been charged with theft by a public servant and abuse of official capacity. Both crimes are felonies. Hernandez is free on a $15,000 bond and has been suspended from his job without pay. An Albuquerque, New Mexico police officer was indicted by a grand jury last Wednesday on charges connected to his rape of a 14-year-old girl in her home. According to the Associated Press, Officer Timothy Chavez was arrested and placed on paid leave in May. He was fired from his job in July. The grand jury charged him with criminal sexual penetration and kidnapping. Investigators say that he met the girl through a telephone chat service. Chavez pleaded not guilty to the charges. A man died last Tuesday in New Britain, Connecticut, 1 week after he was shocked with a taser by police officers. Police used a taser on a 14-year-old student at a high school in Charlotte, North Carolina, last Thursday. Another Charlotte high school student was shocked with a taser by a police officer less than 1 week earlier. A man in Houston, Texas, was shocked with a taser by police inside a crowded office building on Tuesday. The refugee from Hurricane Katrina had just moved to Houston to make a fresh start and was in a line at the Department of Human Services seeking assistance with his wife and children. Witnesses say that Officer D.E. Henry used excessive force and uttered racial slurs during the unprovoked incident. A Lakeland, Florida police officer collapsed and had to be taken to a hospital after he was shocked with a taser last Wednesday. The officer had to be shocked with one of the weapons as part of his training. He passed out and hit his head about 15 minutes after he was shocked. On Monday, the city of Pueblo, Colorado, settled a lawsuit with the family of a man who died after police shocked him repeatedly with a taser in May 2002. The city has agreed to pay the family $275,000. The Pueblo police chief says the settlement is not an admission that his officers acted improperly. On Tuesday, a new civilian model of taser was made available for sale to the public. The civilian taser delivers a 50,000-volt shock through two probes, which are projected from the device and are attached to the taser unit by wires. The police version of the weapon has a range of 21 feet, but the civilian model has wires which are only 15 feet long. Unlike the police taser, the civilian model can shock a victim for up to 60 seconds. The civilian model of the stun gun is not legal for sale in all U.S. states. Miami-Dade County commissioners placed new restrictions on sales of stun guns to the public last Thursday. Purchasers will now face a background check and a 5-day waiting period. Taser International has added an optional video camera attachment to its police Taser models. The cameras will be able to capture audio and video and can be easily attached to the weapons already in use by police. Each camera unit will cost $400. Tasers currently cost between $800 and $1,000, depending on the model and the amount ordered. The cameras are expected to be available for sale starting this spring. The Sheriff's Department in San Diego County, California, placed an order for more than 800 tasers this week. The weapons will cost around $825,000 and will be shipped by the end of the year. News of the sale did nothing to improve Taser International's slumping stock prices. Deputies in Warren County, Kentucky, started using tasers last week. Other than the killings already reported on this week's program, police also killed people this week in Westminster, California, Portland, Oregon, Houston, British Columbia, Colorado Springs, Colorado, Elgin, Ontario, New York City, Lititz, Pennsylvania, Cobb County, Georgia, and Clearwater, Florida. That's all for Bad Cop No Donut this week. Please email your comments and story ideas. The email address for this program is ron@ckln.fm. Bad Cop No Donut is produced at CKLN 88.1 FM in Toronto and can be heard in Lancaster, California on Surge Radio 88.5 FM. I'm Ron Anisich. Thanks for listening.
Do you want to be part of UK? You know nothing, not even my name. And for my precious, that's all you are. Trust like rats, you ain't your boy. All the rats.